Welcome everybody to the Eric Smyer podcast. How are you doing today? It's been a minute. Glad to be back. I have with me a very special crew of gentlemen tonight. Not just one guest, but I got three. They make up the inner workings of the Take the Rope podcast, which is the first podcast I ever appeared on. They're a great group of guys, and I wanted to share them with my audience the way they shared me with theirs. Please welcome Dave Dufour, who you've met. Dave, what's up?
It's a pleasure, Eris. Lots of pressure. Two-time guest on this pod. I'm going to take a back seat to my co-hosts.
Yeah, we'll see if that's true.
I think the Venn diagram of people interested in what you think and what I think has already heard what I think, and I might just take a back seat this episode.
Oh my God! You said drink a little vino, Dave. We'll hear from you. I'm pretty sure. Also, we have with us Mopolo Busing. How you doing, Mopolo?
Great, Aries. Good to be on here.
Yeah, glad to see you, my friend. Long time Boston rival turned friend. and lastly, my good friend, personal fitness coach, coffee tester, and creator of cool things that we'll get into at some point. How are you doing, Chris?
What's up, dude? Happy to be here. You know how many plans I canceled to be on this pod tonight?
Tell me.
Zero.
You had no plans?
I was hoping to tell someone, like, I was hoping for someone to text me and be like, hey, let's go do something. And I could text back, like, nah, I'm on a podcast. And it didn't happen. So
it's not too late, Chris. I'm sending you a text right now.
Yeah, you could just pretend. Dude,
just send me a text right now.
Thanks. Is this still cool though? Like, I don't even know if it's cool anymore. Like, if people ask, oh, what do you do? And I tell them I do a podcast, are they just like, douchebag? Or is it still like kind of cool?
I was like, oh, you too, huh?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I got one too. My cousin's got one. My niece's got one.
Podcasts are like business cards now, where we don't even like exchange information. You just tell someone you have a podcast and they walk away from you.
Yeah. I was talking to our buddy, Jesse today, and we were talking about podcasts, and he was like, is anyone free anymore? Does anyone even say what they want to say or do what they want to do? I watch TV and all TV is all censored now and no one can be themselves. And I was like, yeah, bro, that's what podcasts are. This is, you could be who you want to be and talk about what you want to talk about, and like that's why podcasts are cool.
Is Jesse not aware there's an entire regulatory body that will fine you millions of dollars if you say the S word on broadcast TV? Is he not aware of this?
I mean,
yes. it's like Jesse just crawled out of a cave and discovered TV censored in 2020. What are you talking about, bro?
Yeah, I mean, he watches like South Park and all kinds of stuff too, so it's like, come on, dude. You know what's going on. But you know, Jesse is all about like freedom in America. And I was like, dude, just listen to my podcast, bro. Just do yourself a favor.
Being surprised that TV is censored is a rough take in 2020.
Oh yeah.
Who knew that giant multinational publicly traded companies might have ideas about what should be shared on their airwaves? Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jess, come on our pod and talk about the standpoint.
He won't even come up. I tried to get him on mine to talk about to Bitcoin, and he works for a school. He's a counselor. So he was like, I can't. The students will hear me. I can't go on the pod. And I was like, all right, man. I just want to hear you know, tell me about Bitcoin. But
when the Chargers win the AFC West, we'll have plenty of time to have Jesse on the podcast this year.
Oh my God. From your mouth to God's ears, bro. All right, gentlemen. So I want to ask you a little bit about each of yourselves, and then I want to know about the podcast. So we'll start with Dave, who you've heard from. Dave, for the people that are listening for the first time, have never heard from you before, tell them a little bit about where you're from and what you do.
I'm from Northern California. I will not even hear arguments that LeBron James is the GOAT. I think... That's already kind of the entire essence of my belief system about the entire universe, is that LeBron James will never be the GOAT. I work in healthcare as a chiropractor, and really my third child is Justin Herbert, and Take the Rope is the podcast that I work with Mopolo and Chris on. if I didn't have, like, I think a lot of people like write in a diary because it helps them process what they think. And I need to, like, I need someone, like, I need a deadline of, like, you have to explain this idea in order for me to process my thoughts. I don't know if this makes sense, but if you tell me, like, okay, we're going to talk about Justin Herbert in tonight's episode, then I have to sit down and think about it. Helps me process my thoughts, and I get places on the pod that I wouldn't get to if I just thought about it. So I think that that's part of why Take the Rope is important to me. And then also, given the pandemic, it is my entire social life talking to Mopolo and Chris on Zoom.
Dave, this is really interesting. I never really thought about your takes.
I do. It's not that I think about your takes. It's just that the takes don't come unless there's a microphone.
Got it. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
he needs an audience, man.
Yes.
Dave, before we move on, did you see the new Space Jam trailer today?
La Propaganda.
Your thoughts?
I do not participate in the La Propaganda economy. Well, I'm supposed to believe that LeBron James is the greatest of all time, wears 23, and is remaking a Michael Jordan movie. Get a life, LeBron.
Oh, my God.
Look, LeBron, you want to make movies? Cool. Write a check and produce the Tom Hanks submarine movie. That movie was awesome. Nobody saw it. It was on Apple TV. I forgot what it's called. That movie was great. I don't need Space Jam 2. Make Tom Hanks movies.
Oh, I'm so in for Space Jam 2. I saw it looks like Ready Player 2. Like it had all these extra characters and it's going to be awful. I can't wait. I mean, the first one, as much as I hate Michael Jordan, I suffered through the first one because I love the characters and the music. But
do you hate Michael Jordan because he represents an indomitable greatness and an unfailability? Or do you hate Michael Jordan because he's a terrible person?
I hate Michael Jordan for two reasons. One, he dominated the Lakers. Two, this butt was like, I'm not going to be in any video games. I'm not going to be in NBA Jam. I'm not going to be in Shootout. I'm going to do my own thing. And I had to suffer through the annoying player 23 on the Bulls in every freaking video game. Because this guy was too cool to put his name in there.
Tony Kukoc and Scottie Pippen. What's going on here?
Yeah. That's just, I just
something's missing.
I didn't like the diva thing. That's what I didn't like about him. But
Michael Jordan was the anti-diva. Oh, the whole Last Dance is about how Michael Jordan is a psychopathic abuser of adult men. Nothing about that thing is about him being a diva. It's about him drinking Bud Lights, smoking cigars, gambling till 4 a.m, and dominating Karl Malone. What's not to love?
And selling men's underwear.
Yeah. Hey, cash the checks.
Oh, my God. All right, we're moving on. This can go on forever.
Bad Michael Jordan takes. If you're going to hate Michael Jordan, hate him because he's a womanizing a-hole. Don't hate him because he doesn't work for free. That's just a bad take.
Well, if I'm going to hate womanizing a-holes, I should probably just stop watching sports altogether. Let's be honest. Okay, up next, Mafalo Vusing. Sir, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do.
All right, so I grew up in New Hampshire. That's one of those little states up in the top right corner of America. If you ask, like, probably 75% of Californians couldn't point to it on a map. That's where I grew up. I came out to California for grad school, and I've stayed out here ever since. The weather's great. I got a degree in engineering. I got, you know, became a licensed engineer, and then I moved into the tech world, and now I'm a product manager at a startup. That's me. I live in Oakland, California. I coach high school wrestling, and I have a podcast with these other two knuckleheads.
Dude, I remember the first time I ever saw you, and I have this thing where I don't know if it's just being from LA, but when it comes to certain sports teams, it's just I can't not feel a type of way when I see your logo. And I saw you walk into church and you had that B on your hat, and I was like, I don't like this guy. I don't like the way he walks. I don't like the way he breathes. Turns out you're a super nice guy, very sensible and sweet. But something about that rivalry runs so deep, man. And, you know, I had a lot of feelings about you over the years. But when I got on the Take the Rope podcast and you said that the Dodgers looked good that season, I was like, you know, I kind of like this Mopolo guy.
Mopolo was a man of deep thought and rational thinking. And for a Red Sox fan to compliment the Dodgers is a real example of the stable ship that is Mopolo's whole persona. Stable. Mopolo would have never crashed that boat into the Suez Canal.
I remember, did you see that that Ben Affleck piece where they were like, they wanted him to wear a Yankees hat for a movie, and he was like, I won't fucking do it. I will not wear a Yankees hat.
I respect
hat.
That.
And he would like, they like went to court or something, and he ended up wearing a Mets hat just because they needed him to wear a New York hat. But like, he took a stand and he was like, I just won't do it. It won't touch my head.
So funny story, the pitching coach now for the New York Yankees, I went to high school with, he grew up as a Red Sox fan. Actually, I think he maybe grew up as a Mariners fan, but, we grew up in New England. We're all Red Sox fans, and now he's the pitching coach for the New York Yankees. So,
do you hate him? Did you like cut him out of your yearbook?
No, I mean, we haven't talked a bunch, but, since high school or college, but, it's just funny, small world, you know?
Yeah. It's wild to see people that, you know, being successful or doing things. Cause you just remember as like that kid from high school that ate his boogers or like, you know, whatever. And now they're like, they're on TV or worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, maybe my claim to fame is he hit a home run off me on opening day in Little League. So that
never let it go, huh?
Anyway, he was in high school, he was a smart kid, very charismatic, friendly guy. And he used to always have to cheat off me in stats class, and now he's a stats guru. So,
And one of you is a Red Sox fan, and one of you works for the Yankees. So,
that's right.
I think you won, bro.
No.
Mops, now we're going to have to get a voice changer so that he can come on the pod.
Give us all the Yankee dirt. All right. Moving on. Last but not least, my good friend, Chris Barker. Chris, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
All right, man. Most of my childhood, I grew up in Northern California. Studied landscape design, landscape architecture, and urban planning. Most recently, I was working over at Disney. But recently, I've just been doing my own thing, some freelance work. And the boredom of quarantine has led me to kind of do more crafty stuff on my free time. So I don't really know what I'm doing right now. I'm just doing podcasts, I guess, for free, but freelancing on the side. Life is good. No complaints.
Hey, Chris, we pay you, right? Like, what are we, like $4 or?
Yeah. Okay. We're still working on it.
Yeah. We're not getting paid that money. We're saving up for a Frappuccino right now.
We're
past Frappuccino.
Where are we? Are we past Frappuccino?
We're saving up for Korean barbecue, gentlemen. Keep your eye on the prize here.
Two more years. We'll be there.
I thought it would be like 3 months. It's going to be like 5 years before I can take these guys to dinner.
Chris, tell the people about you have a YouTube show and you are a creator of products. Tell the people a little bit about those two things.
Yeah, so I am a big coffee nerd. I'll go as far as saying snob, as defined by I know what I like and I know what I don't like. I also with coffee, it's so prevalent, it's so everywhere, it's so accessible. I thought maybe I could do a YouTube series where I review coffee for people. You've been on it a couple times. It's been fun. We've gone to 7-Eleven.
Yes.
We've done shitty instant coffee. I only invite you for the shitty stuff, apparently. But
how dare you? First of all, how dare you? 7-Eleven coffee is awesome. It fuels America.
That's fun. I kind of took a break from that. I'm trying to think of a different way to do it. That was kind of like a test for me to see what it was like. I think some new stuff is coming that will be a little different from that, but still coffee centric. And then tangential to that with coffee is me making these little coffee stands that I've started as one for myself. Someone wanted one and I made one. Someone else wanted one, so I sold one. and then more people bought it. So I have these little copy stands that are in some coffee shops over in LA, just for fun, you know, just to see what's out there. The creative side of me is always there. So as long as I'm doing something creative, I'll pursue it. And yeah, it's been fun. Something new.
Where do the people go if they want to see that coffee, your coffee creations?
Instagram, I guess. Right now I don't have a website or anything, but
what's the name?
Instagram, Deer and Crow Designs.
Yeah. You know, and he just got merch too. So check out the merch.
Damn.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, that hat's just for me, but apparently some people thought it was for sale and I was like, no, it's just for me. But
yeah. Give the people what they want, man. They want that. Maybe Chris we'll make merch. More.
Yeah. Well, you too, man. I told you texted me and I was like, yo, where's your merch, dude? Where's your AMP amp?
Yeah. I need to find some cool designers. If anyone's listening to this and wants to help me design some Aris Meyer podcast merch, get at me. Let me know. Chris is also helping me on my fitness journey. We have a regular reoccurring workout with some of our buddies. Chris is like a super fit dude. So he's my health guru as well. So through Chris, I get the good coffee and the workouts.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. It's once a week we've been meeting up and putting in the work and getting destroyed. And soon we're gonna add what barbecues afterwards, right?
Yeah, we're gonna try to add.
We
some
lift.
Meat.
We grow our own meat on our bodies, and then we eat meat to grow more meat. Just a meat fest. It's a disgusting, fucked up meat fest.
It's going to be epic, dude. I can't wait. It's just going to be a bunch of hardened dudes in the back garage, and all the neighbors are just going to hear, and then
pass
smell
me some
meat.
Sausage. Yeah.
it's going to be so wild, but I'm excited.
Just a regular Wednesday night anywhere else in LA, I guess.
Pretty much. All right, gentlemen. So tell me a little bit about the Take the Road podcast. Where did it come from? Who had the idea? And what do you guys do? Anyone feel free to take that.
I'm excited to find out because I have no idea.
I mean, I think Dave may have covered this, but back in the day, Dave and I lived close by to each other, and where was it, Bally's Fitness?
It was a Bally Total Fitness.
We both got memberships there, and then we would just go and work out. By workout, we just mainly talked sports for like, you know, an hour. We probably did a few, you know, bench presses and things, but you know, it's mostly talking, laughing at other people there that took themselves too seriously. There's this one guy who had this you always had the face, like he was like so upset. Would you call him sulfur face? I don't know, this guy. Anyway, yeah, so we used to just talk sports, and then we're just like, we should just record this, and that and that's how it came about. Yeah, we've had, you know, there's a lot of crap on our podcast, but there's a few good ideas, and it, you know, sometimes we have some good ideas, and then it seems like every time we have one, the ringer does it, and we're just like,
Oh yeah, we're basically the AAA team of the ringer. It's so many good ideas we did first. It's just that we had no clue what we were doing. Uh-huh. Like back in the day, if you wanted an NFL podcast, you had to wait till Tuesday. Like Bill Simmons was coming out Tuesday. A whole bunch of podcasts were coming out Tuesday. Nobody had anything for the Monday drive. Who had something for the Monday drive? Me and Mopla. Did we capitalize on that? Do we become successful based on it? No, but we were there first.
I'm sure you have. I mean, I think there's like people that listen to podcasts religiously. And I'm a podcast listener. And there's no... Hi, Mateo. I think that's your boy. There's no like specific... shows that I like on TV anymore. Like I don't watch like serial TV, but for podcasts, dude, like I get so excited when I see a new episode of any show that I like pop up, and they're not even all like super famous ones or super, you know, well known. It's just I enjoy just hearing people like sit around and talk about the things that I'm interested in, and that's why I like Take the Rope because it feels like I'm just like sitting with my boys and just like having a beer, and you guys are like talking shit. And I'm not even that smart when it comes to sports. I'm just more of a homer, like, but you two like know like stats and numbers and players. So when you talk shit, I feel like a little bit smarter. Like when you guys are going back and forth.
Trust me, we don't know anything either.
We're just making it up. Yeah, so we, you know, we did that for, I don't know, we probably did it for a few years, and then
we did it for a whole year, and we didn't record anything because we thought we
wait. But then, you didn't record.
We thought we needed practice, so we'd go.
You just talked to me. That's so adorable.
No, Mopolo's brother-in-law at the time. Do you know Dan?
I don't think so.
Dan Burton.
I don't think so.
He has like all the. He works in setting up electronics for companies. So he had like a mixer and two mics and all this stuff. He gave us all this stuff. We would sit across from each other and basically do a podcast, but not record it for one season. We were just practicing, and they were like, okay, we're ready.
It sounds like you guys are just dating pretty much.
Basically.
And then we recorded for a couple seasons, and then we stopped. Like, you know, I don't know, life just got busy. I think Dave had two kids.
The NFL got rough. The NFL was about like the Ray Rice thing, CTE. Like, it wasn't fun.
Yeah, and then the pandemic hit, and Dave called it up. We looped in our number one fan, Chris, to add a little, you know, some good looks to the show and some hot takes.
Chris,
some layman viewpoints.
My favorite moment in Take the Rope history is the second episode of our relaunch when we had Chris again. And then I said, also joining us, Chris Barker. Chris thought he was a guest. And then I said, actually, you're hired. You're a third person.
Just like that.
Chris was shocked.
That's definitely like one of the signs of like a terrible company is when they're like super overexcited to hire you immediately. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a high turnover here. Something's going wrong in the back of that house. Oh, your name's Chris? You're hired, dude. I like your style.
I can't confirm.
Oh my god.
But no, Chris is good for like the highlight of the episode. Two out of the three episodes.
Yeah. So, Chris will hit you with that zinger, bro. Chris is like super quiet, and then he just comes in out of nowhere and kind of dunks on you.
Do you remember that Ken Griffey Jr. A-Rod team? And then those guys were like superstars. And then secretly the best player on that team was Edgar Martinez, who swung a bat. Swung a bat six times a game and didn't play defense. You're like, wait, I'm pretty sure Edgar Martinez is actually the best player on this team. And that's basically Chris.
I'll tell you what I do. I let Dave and Mopolo do everything. And then I'll either try and come in with some comment to knock them around a little bit or to see what happens. Or put the last block on the pyramid of blocks and just be like, here, I did it. And then everyone's like, that's a great take. I'm like, actually, you guys did all the work. I had no research done. I didn't watch the game. I'm basically feeding off of what you're doing. But I think it works well because they haven't fired me yet.
Yeah. Chris, you've just been promoted to chief editor. You're now the editor-in-chief of Take the Rope.
God damn it. I wanted to be an employee so I could go home on the weekends and just relax.
So what do you guys think it is about sports that people are so interested in hearing about? Like, I feel like from the time that we're kids, if we're into sports, those are the conversations we never stop having. Who's better than who? What team's going to win? Why are people so interested in sports and talking about sports, listening to podcasts or, you know, Sports Center? Why are we so fascinated with sports?
Gosh, these are like serious questions.
I know, good question.
Well, I have some thoughts on this. One, I think, you know, there's just so much ambiguity. Like, you know, you don't, yeah, between generations and teams, it's just hard to compare. So there's always like great debates to have. And then, I don't know, people, you know, what else, like sports is one of the things in life that brings you enjoyment. You can sit back, you can watch it, and it brings people together. If you're at, you know, a bar and watching the team and everyone's getting excited when something good happens, it's like, you know, it's the best. Or just being at the stadium when, you know, you feel that comeback coming on and everyone, you know, you feel it building. It's just like, you know, people love being a part of something. And I think teams and sports allow you to do that. And inevitably, you know, you start debating those things.
Do you think it's a sense of tribalism? Like, human beings, we love attaching ourselves to things, whether it's nationalism or religion or whatever. And we all absolutely. Like, if you like sports, like you choose a team and that's your team and you ride or die with them. And sports is crazy because we like make ourselves completely emotionally vulnerable to something that is 100% out of our control. You know what I mean? If Kobe yes. makes a shot at a buzzer, or if he misses a shot at the buzzer, that's going to make or break my night. But it's crazy that we give something that much control over us, you know?
Eris, I'm going to have to disagree. I am 100% convinced that the 3 hours that I'm watching these amateur quarterbacks throw a football is going to somehow influence what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan do with this third in this draft. I am legitimately taking this dumb 49ers draft pick more seriously than anything else in my life right now.
Why? Tell me why.
Well, I think in the history of the modern 49 post the history of the post 49ers Steve Young is basically a long run of instability at the management position, the ownership position, and the quarterback position. And it looks like the owner has finally hit 40, and that's definitely a good thing in terms of him being like a respectable, stable human being, and I'm hoping to learn from him as I approach 40 here. We finally have a coach that has like a couple of good ideas in Kyle Shanahan, and we finally have Stanford-educated John Lynch in there who at least has played football and passed some classes at Stanford. So for the first time in the history of the organization, we have some stability at these important positions, except that we're blowing up the quarterback position, and it looks like that there's a significant rift between ownership, management, and Kyle Shanahan with what they should do with the third pick. And this pick has the opportunity to set up Kyle Shanahan and this organization for a 15 to 20 year Bill Belichick run where we blow up the league and win a couple Super Bowls. Or Kyle Shanahan might be the coach that replaces Pete Carroll at the Seahawks, and we're back to square one. So there's a lot hinging on this pick, not only in terms of who we pick, but if this turbulence gets handled well internally, if we're going to just wander in the desert for another 10 years trying to figure this out.
Will the 49ers ever be better than when they had Jerry Rice and Joe Montana?
No.
Will they ever be better than that?
We're never going to invent something that revolutionizes football, if that's the question.
Yeah.
So
I always wonder, like,
will the Bulls ever be better than Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson? No, that was a golden era. It's not happening.
Yeah.
But if we could not be a fucking tire fire, that'd be great. I would take that. That's what I'm looking at here.
So here's a question for you. You and Chris both grew up in the Bay Area. Chris famously worked for the Oakland Raiders for a little bit. Why did you two choose to be 49er fans instead of Raider fans? Was it proximity? Was it the city? Was it, what was it? Why did you guys choose that?
Well, I thought Chris was a Raiders fan until episode 10 of last year. So Chris, why did you go first?
Yeah, Chris, please illuminate.
Yeah, when I moved out to California, it was in 92, and I was just kind of getting into football. Like, I had watched a couple of Redskins games as a kid, but that didn't really sit with me. Moved out to California, met some friends my age, and then all of a sudden you get Jerry Rice winning Super Bowls. And as an impressionable child, I didn't know the Raiders existed until like 5 years later. Like, all I saw were the Niners, and that was good enough for me. I just remember going to Super Bowl parties, you know, all the time. And so
that's like a humble brag. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So Super Bowl parties, just, you know, 1, 2, 3, whatever.
Yeah, you know, a couple. Like, you know, and then as an impressionable kid who also likes, you know, to play sports, you know, I was like, yeah, Jerry Rice, of course I want to be him on the field. Like, number 80 is the best number ever invented. You know, and that kind of sticks. And I mean, yeah, I worked, my dad was a hardcore Raiders fan, but I went to a lot of Raider games, and I even worked at the Coliseum, but I'll tell you, that did not help me become a Raiders fan.
tell me your worst experience working at the Coliseum for the Raiders.
Well, I mean, for working, I'll be honest, when I worked there for one season, it was the season that they went deep into the playoffs. Before the year before they went to the Super Bowl, they were actually good. So I worked every home game plus the playoff games, and I got to, you know, work. I worked the first three quarters just serving food in the stands, and then the last quarter I could always just watch. So I got, you know, a free season of football out of it, and they were good. And it was fun to do on Sundays. But already at that point, I was already a Niners fan. So for me, it was just exposure to football that was fun. My best memory of a Raiders game as a kid when my dad took me was they were playing the Chiefs. And some dude, we were sitting on the second level along the balcony in the Coliseum. Some dude was, you know, got into a fight with whatever, and the security was escorting this Chiefs fan out. And he was like in a sea of black. He was like this red jersey. And everyone's yelling at him, and he's yelling back, and the security is moving him out. And I must have been like 10 or 11. I was like, what's going on? And I look over at this dude on the second balcony, kind of like three rows down, pours his beer on top of this dude.
Classic.
As the security is moving him out, and everyone just erupts with cheer, like, yeah. Like, and I was like, wow, this is intense. And then every time the ref would make a bad call in any game, the whole stadium would start to chant ball shit. Like, ball shit. And I was like 11. I was like, daddy, bad words. What's going on? My dad was just like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the level of intensity at those games. And it's cool to be in. And I was glad I was, you know, wearing black when I went there. But yeah, I don't know. It's just the Niners hit me first and hit me hard. And, you know, the Raiders are like, the second, you know, they're like the second team if I had to care. I have emotional attachment to them, but I don't expect much from them.
Can we just be honest, though? The Raiders uniform has always been cooler than the 49ers uniform.
I think it's close.
Do you think so, really?
Yeah, here's why they're both good. Metallic helmets. Gold helmets, silver helmets, great. What are the Packers doing with a yellow helmet is the question. We have this thing that's supposed to be like a protective mechanism and it's supposed to be like hard and protective. Make it a metallic color. Let's go. Good uniform automatically.
You're super into uniform colors, Dave. That's something I've learned about you listening to the podcast. I didn't know you had so many opinions about color until I started listening to the podcast and you talk about all throughout the spectrum of sports, uniforms, color patterns. Where did this come from? This love of all things clothes.
I have no idea where this came from. You'd think I could like dress myself. Turns out, no. I could just talk about other people should dress themselves at work.
Other grown men, their work uniforms.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably connected to like the first question that you asked, like why do we think sports is important? And I think it's like connected to the tribalism in creating identity.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, I mean, I spent a lot of time on the UniWatch blog. This guy just like obsessively writes about uniforms. We talk about it every Sunday. The worst thing that we saw, the best thing that we saw, almost always it's some kind of uniform related atrocity or victory. So I don't really know where it comes from. I think it's just like, I think it's fun to talk about like the things in sports that aren't L's and W's. So
yeah,
it kind of gives us an avenue to talk about of the culture surrounding this thing that we spend so much time with. But honestly, I have no idea how to answer that question. I've just always like, I used to watch college football. I used to have a running list of like 100 colleges, and every Saturday I would update it based on who won and what their uniform looked like.
Oh my God. That's weird, dude.
So you ended up at Ohio State?
No, my man, I'm a Michigan man. I'm a Michigan man myself. I won't even accept like, the idea that I think that we should draft Justin Fields really speaks to my growth as a human being here with the United States.
I think it's interesting because like when I was a kid, my grandmother was from New York. So the first sports team I ever liked was the Yankees. She sent me like hats and shirts. And, you know, I knew it like from movies and stuff. And then as I got older, the Boys and Girls Club started taking us kids to Anaheim to see the Angels. And I remember thinking like it was the red with like, you know, the halo and the A. And I went there. And everyone's just kind of like hanging out, having a good time. But there was no like cheering or rooting or like us versus them at Angel games. And I remember just being like, dude, this sucks. Like, I don't like these guys. Like, this is so lame. Like, red is dumb. Nobody here really cares. And then I went to a Dodger game for the first time, and the atmosphere was like, everyone's wearing the classic blue with the LA white, like I'm wearing right now. And people are like in it. They're booing, they're cheering, they're yelling, they're arguing. People would bring their little radio so you could hear like the ball broadcast while you're watching the game. And it just felt like, oh, I identify with these type of fans, with this type of, you know, energy. And I know that like most people can't do that unless they're from New York or, you know, some places that have multiple options. But there is something to be said about the color and the patterns and the logos of teams that make people choose them, I think. Even just buying random hats, like our buddy Quanchai, who's not into sports at all. I took him to Lids one time to buy hats. He just chose the ones with the logos that he liked. He didn't know who they were, even what teams they were, where they're from. He was just like, oh, this is cool. I like this. So I think that's like part of it somewhere too, is the colors and the logos.
Well, what did he get?
Dave, can you talk about?
He definitely didn't get a Rockies hat, right?
No, he got a Dodgers hat because I told him he has to. On it. And then he got an Orioles hat. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I also have an Orioles hat. We need to get Quanchai.
Dave, can you talk about, to confirm Aris's theory about choosing teams, what happened when your son saw the Raptors for the first time?
Okay. This is the year that the Warriors lost to the Raptors. So mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I guess.
That was awesome, by the way. Go ahead.
We don't believe the Canada exists in my house. So, I mean, I would DVR Warriors games. This is when like the Warriors were fun. Mm-hmm. I would DVR Warriors games, know the score, and then just play them when my kids were home. And I would talk about the Warriors and talk about the players. Bought them like Warriors stuff, bought them posters, would wear a Warriors hat around the house. This is like for a whole year.
Real talk, your mom was the only person I ever heard big up the Warriors my whole life. Like my entire childhood, they were trash. And Annie would be like, I would be wearing all my Lakers stuff and she'd be like, yeah, Warriors, what's up? The only person that in my whole life, but go ahead. Now everyone and their mom is a Warriors fan all of a sudden, but
God bless her. No, if you're a real Warrior fan, the most important season was the We Believe season when we beat the Mavs and then got eliminated in the second round of the playoffs. That was like four championships put together. That was how exciting that was. So anyways, I'm prepping my kids. I'm doing the psychological blackmail of investing them in this Warriors franchise. Finally, game one of the finals comes on. I turn on the TV and, you know, they're introducing the players. And someone says, like, the Toronto Raptors. And Mateo looks at me and is like, there's a team called the Raptors? And then I was like, yes. And then he was like, great, I love the Raptors.
It's true. What's cooler than a freaking dinosaur? Dinosaurs are freaking cool.
Yeah, 100%.
And what's the Warriors logo? Some trash logo no one cares about?
The bridge now.
It's the bridge. Here's the thing about that logo. When that logo came out and they were in Oakland, everyone was like, we're not leaving. I was like, guys, take Bart over to the Embarcadero and look at the Bay Bridge and then look at the Warriors logo. The logo is the Bay Bridge from San Francisco, guys. They're going to San Francisco. What are you guys talking about?
That was their subtle way of letting them know we're going to leave soon. Look, this is the bridge we're going to take to leave.
It's not so subtle. It's like putting a giant A on the LA Dodgers hat. And
yeah.
Like, oh, it's just for Angelos or something. Like, no, bro. They're going to Anaheim.
Yeah. Oh, not God. So don't get me started on the LA Angels of Anaheim, bro. That's it. That's its own marketing nightmare, trying to put Los Angeles on a team that's not even in Los Angeles. It's so desperate.
This is something that Northern Californians have no fucking idea about. I just think of like everything south of Bakersfield is Los Angeles.
Nah.
And Orange County and LA are totally different.
Totally different. And there's a specific line, and that line is literally Anaheim, where Disneyland is. It's very Orange County, and it's definitely not Los Angeles. So be the Disney Angels, be the Anaheim Angels, be whoever you want. You got a freaking movie, Angels in the Outfield, where you watch the movie, they're clearly not in LA in the freaking movie.
Not in LA? Isn't that clearly LA? What are we talking about here?
I know. I'm just trying.
Surfers. What's going on?
And everyone's better than everyone else. I don't know. It's just like
everyone's good looking. Everyone's eating Japanese food in 1994, isn't this clearly LA?
Tacos and Japanese food, that's why, yeah. But it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like teams would be, I want teams to be themselves, have their own identity. And that it always bothers me, like shared stadiums, like the Jets and the Giants. That's so annoying to me. Just be yourself, have your own, you know, your own place. Yeah, I don't know. All right. So there's another thing I want to ask you guys about. This is a little more serious. So this week, we all know what happened in Atlanta, right? Basically, there were some laws that were passed, unfair voting laws in Atlanta, and MLB decided to pull the All-Star game from Atlanta, and they're going to host it somewhere else. So I want to know what you guys think about athletes getting involved with politics. I know that you know, on Twitter, there's a lot of debate, the whole shut up and dribble thing. A lot of politicians and spokespeople telling athletes that they should have opinions or they should not have opinions based on sponsorships. Where do you guys fall in that as sports fans? Do you think that they should be politically active, that they should have opinions? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I can go. Yeah, I mean, I think it they should definitely. You know, the idea that like some people can't have opinions based on their occupation is kind of silly. Like, you know, like how many people's occupation is it to be in politics besides like politicians? Like no one else can have an opinion on that. Like, you know, if you're like, hey, you know, shut up, this person shouldn't have, you know, shouldn't talk about politics. They should just play basketball or whatever. It's like, okay, who are you? Like you work in, you know, you work at Google. Like, why do you have an opinion about this? Like it, you know, it doesn't really make sense. I think also, I love that the MLB did this. You know, I think that's how you keep, it's like another check and balance, you know, if, you know, politicians are kind of going off on the rails and doing crazy things. I mean, these laws are insane. You know, it's just insane. There's like, it's voter suppression. Like, that's it. Like, I don't know how else you can talk about it. It's just voter suppression.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I think in a league like the MLB where, you know, you have a lot of Hispanic players, you have a fair amount of African-American players, you know, that's a chance for the league to come out and do something that actually is maybe meaningful in bringing attention to the issue.
I mean, I would even go one step further. I think it's strange that we're relying on like entertainment properties to take a stand and to take a public action towards drawing attention and maybe pushing towards some kind of resolution of these clearly racist bills. Coca-Cola and Delta should just move. Like that's one game. And that is like significant revenue, significant hotel revenue. And that is important for the city. But if Coca-Cola, like Coke said that they didn't support it for 3 weeks. They said that they weren't going to support Republican folks who supported the insurrection. And then 4 weeks later, when everyone got tired of talking about that, they went back and they contributed because they think people have no long-term memory for consequence, right? And, you know, the MLB comes out and they make a stand and they're basically acting as this kind of like business voice for common sense. Coke should move out of Georgia. Coke should say, hey, we're moving the headquarters. Like, we don't need less common sense activism from American citizens with influence and power. We need more. We need more people to come out and say, not in my country. I just got into a Twitter argument earlier today about whether or not I should get arrested. You know, they came out and said like, well, if I have to show ID at a will call, shouldn't I have to show ID to vote. And I was like, great. Next time you're at will call for 8 hours, I look forward to getting arrested for handing you a bottle of water. Yeah. And then I said, great, I want to see how you do after 8 hours. And then I looked at his profile photo. Guarantee this guy doesn't drink water. Not only does he drink water, he doesn't use sunscreen lotion. So I got plenty of ammo if he comes back at me. But I think that we look at businesses that have a lot of black and brown people, and the right looks at them and tries to vilify them by saying things like shut up and dribble. What we need is more more corporate America, big money companies that traditionally are interested in paying less taxes, doing interesting things with the globe's water, taking water from poor countries and selling them to rich countries and screwing up the water tables. You know, we need more activism and more permanent activism than just the MLB moving the All-Star game. I'm looking at you, Coke and Delta.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true. And I just, it's so disgusting to me to see all these people online that are like sports fans and they're just trying to demand, you know, when I watch sports, I don't want to see no politics. I don't want to see any, you know, messaging. I just want to watch sports. And it's like, these are human beings. They have opinions. They're as American as anyone else. They're affected by things as anyone, you know, as anyone else. I remember that I Can't Breathe with the Clippers, that whole thing where people were just so mad that they were wearing those shirts before the game. And then, you know, the owner had some things to say and they got rid of the owner. And I thought that that was the move. Like, that's the kind of activism I want to see, you know, even though I don't really when it comes to entertainers, whether it's movies or sports or music, their opinions to me are just like anyone else. You know, they're just people. Sure, they have a bigger platform and, you know, they can hit a baseball or they can dunk. But just because they create entertainment doesn't mean that they shouldn't have a voice and they shouldn't be able to say what they think, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's super gross. And it's, to me, it's a lot of manipulation by media, you know, just like the kneeling for the flag debate when, you know, Kaepernick, your boy, San Francisco started kneeling and everybody was just so upset. And he was like, here's my message. Here's what I'm saying.
Yep.
And then half of the country just put their hands over their ears and went, la, 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 la. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this, you know, like freaking children. It just speaks to the, like the absolute power of,
well,
of media, man.
If you have a problem with Colin Kaepernick disrespecting the troops by meeting with a former Navy SEAL and making a plan to protest the treatment of, people in his community, wait till you find out we're in two endless wars in the Middle East. Wait till you find out we're risking American lives in the Middle East for 20 years without a plan. I can't wait till you get upset about that.
It's bizarre, man. And just, I don't understand how we can't equate people with struggle. Like, just because you're LeBron James and you're rich, it doesn't mean that you don't have a, you know, things to say, that you haven't been treated a certain way, that, you know, and everyone just expects these athletes, because they get paid so much, to just play. And that's wild to me. Like, I can't imagine going into like a Target and talking to somebody and them being like, you know, expressing their opinion to me, be like, no, just tell me, you know, where the diapers are. Like, I don't care what you have to say. Like, I don't know. It's just so crazy to me.
I think it speaks to the reality that we actually need more political activism from regular people all across the board.
Hmm.
Like, we're all kind of expected in some ways to be apolitical people in America, right? We kind of plug into the capitalist system, and for the most part, like, your close friends and family, they might know your political views, but we all kind of work hard to disengage from a public conversation about what we believe. Or what we believe the direction of the country should be. Also, Americans are like not very well informed.
Yeah, we're so easily manipulated by social media and by media in general, that somebody that's well-intentioned saying what they think, like really sharing their heart, that can be vilified so easily. And it's gross, because at the end of the day, that's all people want, is they just want clicks and views. So they're just going to misinterpret it and, you know, and try to just create negativity and negativity and negativity, so we can't come together or hear good messaging.
Ares, you brought up the idea of like, hey, these are just people, and like, you know, they're athletes, and you know, that's how I feel. It's like, hey, they're just human beings that happen to be really good at playing this thing that everyone likes watching. They can make a lot of money at it, but they, you know, we shouldn't necessarily make them our role models. You know, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but you know, they can have their own viewpoints, their own opinions, and you know, they're entitled to that. You know, it's the First Amendment.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing I want to touch on with you guys, women's sports. So there's been a lot of talk in the media right now about paying female athletes the same amount that they pay male athletes, What do you guys think about that situation?
I think that we should work on growing women's sports to the point where that becomes a realistic possibility.
Mm-hmm. So I know that there's cases like the WNBA where obviously the WNBA gets a lot less viewership and attendance than the regular NBA, right? So there's a conversation to be had there. But the example that I think about is women's soccer. Our women's soccer team, our national team, is the best in the world, our American national team, as far as women. Our American men's team is garbage. We suck. When have we ever won a World Cup? Like, we're trash. But somehow those players make more than their female counterparts who win it all. Do you think it's fair that they make more?
We definitely don't think it's fair. That situation is complicated because we talked about this in a couple of episodes.
We have two whole podcasts dedicated to this on Take the Rope. There, I think, are two of our most listened to podcasts. But yeah, actually it's the women, because of their success, actually have made a little bit more than the men, I believe, in the last couple of years. But generally on like a per game basis, they make less. But because of their contract that they negotiated, they also have a base salary. So their like floor is higher. Anyway, it's complicated. Do I think women's soccer should make as much or more than men's? Yes, based on their success, based on their popularity. Yeah, totally. And I think the model for elevating women's sports should be more similar to what they're doing in the Premier League and in the soccer clubs in Europe, where they're taking, they're taking these uber successful, men's programs, and they're basically integrating women's programs with it. So it's Man City Football Club, and they have a men's team and they have a women's team, and they enjoy the same facilities. They play on the same fields. And it's a great way to like share costs, but also have two teams and bring, awareness and equality. And you could also help pay the women more while you're bringing popularity to the sport. So yeah, I mean, I think in general, like, we're there's how many years of human history where men and women haven't really been treated fairly, and it's like, it's hard to change that opinion or viewpoint.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I'm happy about, I think a couple of interesting developments the last few months. One development is that the women's NCAA tournament has been infinitely more entertaining and interesting and compelling, and has created more interesting characters. And I'm much more interested in like the future of UConn women's basketball than I am like UCLA men's basketball.
How is UCLA even in the Final Four, bro?
Look, that's a discussion for another day. But oh, I think that the women's college tournament being honestly more entertaining and more watchable than the men's tournament is a positive sign. And I don't know if it was sparked by this or it kind of runs hand in hand, but the way that we're talking about women's sports in the last few months has been that we haven't given women's sports a fair shot. Mm-hmm. So we talk about like ratings and popularity while we pump millions and millions of dollars into men's sports, and then women's sports gets the leftovers. And then we look at the outcomes and we say, well, women's sports not as popular. I'm curious to see what happens in the next 5 to 10 years if a significant push towards Mopola's point, if significant investment of resources in terms of money and television time goes into women's sports, if we could see a more equitable distribution of revenue generated, and then that will change the dynamics of the profitability conversation.
Interesting. Yeah. It's weird because it's like, we kind of grow up not being encouraged to root for women's sports as men. Like our society is like I mean, pretty sexist, just as boys in general, you know. But I've always enjoyed women's soccer more than men's soccer on the national stage, because as long as I can remember, it's always been more exciting. Like, and I don't know if that's just a cultural thing. Like in America, maybe more women grow up playing soccer than men. I mean, most of our athletes maybe play other sports, but women's soccer has always been like super exciting to me on a national level in America.
Yeah, I mean, I root for the men's team to get knocked out of the Olympics and the World Cup every year.
To get knocked out? Yeah.
Because if the men's team makes the World Cup, we're talking about fucking Michael Bradley. We're not talking about Neymar. I don't want to turn on ESPN and hear about Michael Bradley. I want to hear about how's Neymar looking.
Yeah.
How's Marcello looking?
Yeah. My only thing is, you know, as long as Brazil loses the World Cup or doesn't qualify, I'm super excited. That's all I need to happen for the World Cup to be a victory every year. I'm a big Brazil hater. So the last thing I want to talk to you guys about before the lightning round is the Astros season. First couple of games, they have been booed. The stadiums have all played like different music, kind of making fun of them when they're introduced or walking out. Would you guys like an entire season of this? Do they deserve an entire season of this? Your thoughts.
Chris, let's go to you.
Oh, put me on the spot. I mean, I'm down for if you go to a sports game, do whatever the fuck you want. I grew up going to Raiders games. They called ball shit. They pour beer on people. If you go to a game, fine. Whatever happens, happens. I'm not advocating for any of it either way. But what I'm saying is, like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'll tell you this. People have to get it out of their system. I know it's been a season, but there's still a lot of, like, you want to tell someone to their face, fuck you. You don't want to have, like, a representative do it for you. It's not the same thing. So I feel like we need one full season where it's going to get out. Eventually, people will move on. Dave, you touched on this before. We have a short memory. Once we get our rage out, once we get our anger out, you know, the new TikTok dance will come out and we'll be distracted by something less important. Now, I think it will haunt the Astros eventually later on if they get to the playoffs consistently, then people will start caring. But if the Astros suck for the next 3 years, people will eventually forget and not care anymore.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm going the exact opposite. I think this is going to be like the West Bank, where 50 years from now, people are like, why do we fucking hate this team? And it's some old guy in the stands. It's like, well, they bought a 24-year-old with a computer, and they made an algorithm, and they called pitches, and then they banged on trash cans. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, boo.
Dude, I can't – I won't even lie. Like, I've been looking at tickets this season, and I just think it would be so therapeutic just because of a year of coronavirus – mixed with this like anger I have as a Dodger fan of getting robbed, to just go and just boo them for 9 innings. Like, that's just like this primal scream therapy that I really need. I don't even care who wins the World Series this year. I just want to boo them. And it's just like, oh, it just makes me so happy to see them getting razzed.
I think the pressure's on. Like, if you're throwing out the first pitch, don't you just throw it straight at the Astros dugout every game?
I mean, they've been hitting players already. It's going down.
Let's go. Mops, your thoughts.
I mean, I've given some thoughts on this. I mean, the one downside is when everyone's against you, you tend to play well. The Astros are 3-0. They have a 19 run differential. They're looking pretty good. But I mean, the big tragedy here is the MLB could have just policed this themselves. Yep. And then they were just like, no, you know, they basically got off scot-free. I mean, yes, a few heads rolls, but like, you know, all those players, they didn't lose any games. And then the other thing is, last year they were literally protected by the league. Like, when Joe Kelly threw at the guy, the Houston pitcher had already hit someone on the team. He didn't get anything. Joe Kelly threw behind the guy, didn't hit anyone, and he got like 8 games. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, there has to be for something as bad as what they did, because they literally won the World Series in these games. Like, you got to be – Altuve definitely had something funky going on.
bro, the pictures, like, the it's just so obvious. The pictures in the videos, don't take my shirt off, don't touch me.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, they won games because of this, and the whole team was in on it, and it's like, it's just, yeah, they should have to deal with this shit for a couple years. Well, people will forget about that. You know, we'll always make jokes about it, like, it'll always be the butt of a joke. There's a, you know, I'm still hearing about deflated footballs with the Patriots. Like,
well, that's because Tom Brady's a cheater, but we can talk about that another time.
yeah, that's another podcast. Yeah.
But speaking of which, though, how did you feel about drunk Tom Brady? I was thinking of you when I saw that, when he was shit faced and he tossed the trophy. how did you feel about that, bro?
I didn't feel like Dave had the best take on this. It was like, this is the first time we thought he was a human being.
Florida Tom in the fucking building, bro. Florida Tom.
It's like you have that friend who goes to Caltech and he just looks like he lives in a pressure cooker, and you're like, do you enjoy life? And you're like, and he's just doing math homework. And then he gets a job at doing like research, and you're like, do you do anything? And then you take him out, he has 1.5 margaritas, and he's on the floor, and you're like, look, I did my job.
I'm just so over it. Oh my God. I can't stand Tom Brady, but when I saw him just wasted and he threw that trophy, I was like, dude, Florida Tom's all right with me, bro. He traded in those Uggs, he put on some slides or some Crocs maybe, had a little dip and just lived it up, dude.
The greatest gift that Mopolo has given me, outside of, and it's close, it might be like a close tie, outside of like a sincere adult friendship, which is hard to come by. As you grow up into adulthood, you think you're going to make new friends, and you're still hanging out with the people that you farted with in fourth grade.
Hell yeah, King of the Hill. That's real life.
Outside of a great adult friendship that's developed, becoming friends with Mopolo and talking about Tom Brady and basically adopting the Patriots as my second team and leading to
no, Dave.
5 or 6 championships in my life.
No, Dave, no.
It's been pretty great.
My stomach hurts.
I rooted for Tom in all of those Super Bowls except for the first Giants one.
Oh my God.
It's such a gift.
You're welcome, Dave.
I mean, it's full circle, right? When I was on your guys' podcast, Mopolo was saying how much he likes the Dodgers. Next time he's down here, we'll probably go to a Dodger game. I mean, you know, we all grow up and change, you know? Beautiful things are happening.
We develop. It's like fine wine. Instead of just being a one-note wine, you're like a four-note wine. You're a Niners fan, and you're kind of a Patriots fan for no reason that you can explain to yourself other than you have this emotional connection to this team.
Can we be honest, though, when it comes to wine, there's only ever one fucking note. There's no four notes. Wine just tastes like wine.
Yeah, I totally agree. I spent so much time and money trying to figure out what wine is supposed to taste like.
Bro, have you ever gone wine tasting and you go to the first winery, you try all the wine, you're a little bit tipsy, you eat some crackers, you go to the second one, try some wine. They're trying to tell you how it tastes, and you're just shooting them back like shooters. By the third place, you're so fucked up that you're just walking in there, just chugging the wine and walking out while they're trying to talk to you.
You're dehydrated from standing in the sun, and you're just like, tannins, baby. Let's go.
There's no notes, bro. They're trying to explain to you the intricate, you know, ingredients and balance, and you're just like, alcohol. We'll get fucked up.
It's funny. It'd be like talking about ibuprofen. I'm like, okay, what is ibuprofen? Has a chemical reaction that helps my body. What does who cares what ibuprofen tastes like?
I'm trying to get lit.
Dude, this ibuprofen has a chalky finish. This one is has berries on top. You have to smell the ibuprofen before you drink it.
All right, boys.
Before we get to the lightning round.
Yes, sir, please.
Not Patriots. Steelers, your thoughts. We're gonna have to get into it for our preseason preview.
Oh my God!
O-line is trash.
So
Roethlisberger is trash. Tomlin, everybody likes him, which in my
book, I love him. I love Tomlin. I'll live and die with Tomlin. He wears a sweater. He has a cross. He's a good coach.
So
I love
Tomlin. He's either a Catholic priest.
No, he respects children's autonomy. Okay. Here's my hot take on the Steelers. One. The Steelers are playing in LA this year in San Diego, and I want to get tickets because as terrible as Ben Roethlisberger is, This is going to be his final year, and that's my quarterback. I've rooted hard for him for over 10 years. He's won us championships, and out of respect, I want to see that man play. Two, Juju, I love Juju. I'm glad they gave him a one-year extension because he wants to play with Ben. I hope that they give him more than that because he wants to be a lifelong Steeler, and I really, really like him as a person. But I feel like he just needs some people around him to do better. That being said, this year as a Steeler fan is going to be extremely hard. We're going to be terrible. We'll go out there and give it our best, but I feel like we're not making the moves that we need to make to have an elite team. We don't have a quarterback in place for when Ben retires. We got Rudolph, who showed us what he had during Ben's injuries and was a supreme letdown. I actually preferred Hodges over him, and they let Hodges go. So I am prepared to have a hard time this season. But I was also prepared for that last season, and we were the last undefeated team in the league and then fell apart. So I don't know.
Are you prepared to do an emergency podcast when Jimmy Garoppolo is your starting quarterback?
I like Garoppolo. You guys hate on him. I like Garoppolo. I think with the right squad, he could really do well.
Yeah, great. The right squad was the 49ers, and it was pretty brutal, except for 1 year when he missed a wide-open post route to win a championship. I mean, you can have him.
I just think, you know, if he was in a city of champions like Pittsburgh, he would do well, you know. But there's players that I want. There's, like, quarterbacks that I wish, like Sam Darnold, you've talked about before, who gets a lot of hate as a Jet. I feel like he's a shorter Ben Roethlisberger the way he plays. And if he had a good kind of big brother to teach him and put him in a position to be a great quarterback, ooh, I think that he could be good. I just – my big problem is, as much as I love Ben, we're not investing in our future, and that's scary to me as a Steeler fan. But no matter what, even if we're trash, it's black and yellow till I die. And that's it.
Harris, do me a promise.
Yes.
At your eloquent defense of the Steelers season, just play the Kanye track Family Business over your rant, and it'll fit right in there.
That's basically, Kanye is the man. I love Kanye, and I love that. It's one of my favorite songs ever.
You love them, they're family, but we have issues.
Yeah, hey, but isn't that my whole life, though? That's my whole family story, bro.
Dude, that's every family.
Yeah.
Whether or not your family's willing to talk about that or not, that's just how families are.
Yeah, and I mean, you just got to – that's the thing about sports is, you know, if you rep your team, you rep your team. And I've had – man, tell me those last Kobe years weren't hard to be a Laker fan. You know,
that was great. What do you want?
He was out there just jacking up shots, and you love him to death.
Those last two Kobe years were just biding your time till you get LeBron, and it was the plan the whole time. That's a great plan.
I don't think it was the plan at the time. Those last Kobe years, he just didn't want – he didn't want nobody on the team. He wanted to be the man. And it was hard.
Steve Young, but
he's the great one.
Steve Young was still the quarterback of the 49ers. I'd go into this season thinking, this is a great idea. This guy.
Steve, the concussion king, Steve Young. Mr. Yeah. Tylenol himself.
It was pretty sad what happened to Steve Young at the end, but yeah. It's neither here nor there.
But yeah, so that's my defense of the Steelers. I don't know how good we're going to be, but you know, I'm just excited to watch them, and I really hope that I get to see them in LA. That they let fans in for the NFL, because that'd be cool to see them one last time. Even though it's probably going to be like $400 or something stupid.
Hey, if you need help getting vaccinated, I can always get you an appointment up here.
I'm double vaxxed, bro. I got the Pfizer. I got both of them already.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm vaccinated. I got diabetes, bro. We don't play over here. They took care of your boy.
I'm happy to hear that.
I'm ready to hit the streets and just make out with strangers, bro. The CDC said that we can't transfer it, so I'm pretty much immortal, dude. But let's go. All right, so it's time now for the lightning round. I want all three of you to please individually answer these questions. The first one, the aliens come to Earth, as they always do in the lightning round, and they say to each of you, we're going to destroy this planet unless we can reincarnate each of you. But when we reincarnate you, you have to be a fan of the sports team that you hate the most, a lifelong fan. What team do you choose to be a fan of when you're reincarnated that you know is going to be torturous for you?
It used to be the Cowboys. When the Niners were good, I used to hate the Cowboys. And now I just want the Cowboys to be good because it's a symbol of like the 90s glory when the Niners were good.
God.
I'm going to just go wherever LeBron is. Just a LeBron. I'm just going to have a LeBron jersey. I'm going to have to talk about how it's super entertaining to watch this guy offensive rebound.
Mm-hmm.
How he takes weeks off, but he's a super competitor. Yeah.
Just maybe you could get some of those rings he's got, you know? How you feel about those?
I
don't need those
rings. I got six of my own. I'm good. I got six organic homegrown rings, three of them with Tony Kukoc and Dennis Rodman. I'm good.
Oh, my God.
I don't need, Mr. Glass. I don't need Mr. Glass. I don't need Mr. Glass over there teaming up with me to win a title.
You would look good in a LeBron James Toon Squad jersey.
I refuse to acknowledge that Toon Squad exists. I think it's offensive.
All right, Vapalo, what team are you reincarnated to root for?
There are basically two teams that really popped in my mind, and it's the Yankees and the Lakers. And I think the one that I despise the most would have to be the Yankees.
How would you feel like wearing a Yankee jersey and a hat if somebody just broke into your house right now and put a gun to your head and put that on you and said, if you take this off, I'm gonna find you? Would you just be like, at a certain point, like you just have to take it off?
Yeah, I'd get it really dirty, just like gross looking. I don't know. It's whatever. I don't know. I probably couldn't go back to Boston or show my face again in New England. I couldn't go back to New Hampshire and hang out with my old wrestling buddies. That one go down fine.
Christopher, your reincarnation.
Two teams come to mind, although I'd probably let the aliens just kill me.
No, they're killing the whole Earth, bro. Everything is being destroyed.
Yeah, take me with you. I don't give a fuck. but if they're like, we're going to kill you if you don't do this, and I'm caught in some sort of catch-22, it would either be a Dodgers fan or a Seahawks fan. And now I would just have to pick the one where I want to live. I like living in LA. I like Seattle. I might go Dodgers just because I have more friends down here. At least I could see them every day.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I would just say, go ahead and kill me. It's fine.
You would look so good in blue, though, Chris.
Not that Seahawks fluorescent blue.
Yeah. Oh, the Seahawks are the worst.
Chris, after you said that, I realized how much I hate the Seahawks. I hate the Seahawks.
Well, that's two out of three. Mofalo, could you be a Seahawks fan?
Take the rep season four. Is that just that?
I'm confused. I thought we were supposed we to just, pick we the just team lost that Seattle. We hated the Guys, most.
You are.
Seattle.
Okay.
Just lost Seattle.
Oh my God. Harris,
what's yours?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you the Ravens or the Browns?
No, absolutely. For me, it would be the Houston Astros. Absolutely.
But what about like 3 years ago?
Historically.
Yeah.
Historically, it would be. Oh man, who do I hate that much?
Michael
there's Jordan. There's so many teams. I mean, yeah, I would hate to wear anything Michael Jordan related. I've never owned Jordans.
You just
never,
hate Kobe ever. Haters.
The Celtics.
Your anti thing would just be like a Kobe. Would just be like a fat fuck from Minneapolis who hates Kobe.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, people that have talked shit about Kobe, and they're dead to me. Like, there was this comedian, Ari Shaffir, and he's a notorious Kobe hater. And the day that Kobe died, he like made some joke, and I just deleted him off everything. I was like, this guy's dead to me. He doesn't even exist. If I ever see him on site, I'm hitting him with my car. Like, it's just
tasteless.
Just on site, bro.
Now you can't publish this episode because they'll know it's not a crime of passion. It's premeditated.
I mean, of course it's premeditated, and the city of LA will put murals of me on the walls, dude. But yeah, it would probably be – it's funny because when I was a kid, the first team I liked in basketball was the Celtics because I didn't know anything about basketball. But as I got older, it would probably have been the Celtics. Like, I would have just –
Is that a diss or
– No, I didn't know anything about basketball, and then my buddy would choose the Lakers when we played video games. So I was like, well, who's their rival? And then he was like, the Celtics. So I would choose the Celtics, and I would be like Paul Pierce or Antoine Walker or those guys. And then,
that's like me voting for George Bush the first time I voted for president.
I did that too because my dad told me to. And then I heard him talking. I was like, wait a minute.
Who knew Al Gore had a plan to save the country? Who did? Save us from global warming. Who knew at the time?
Oh my God. All right, next question, gentlemen. If you had to spend the rest of your life wearing the uniform of one sports team, and this is just your everyday, all the time, you're wearing this uniform, what team's uniform are you wearing?
Uniform, like I actually have to wear the clothes or the jersey?
Talking about just like the whole top thing, or
the whole uniform. I mean, obviously you don't have to wear cleats and, you know, you can take your helmets and your pads on and off.
I gotta wear like baseball pants.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Or like the short. Okay. All right. This is interesting.
So you have to wear one team's uniform the rest of your life. That's your, like, you're a monk.
This is Dave's nightmare because you know how it feels about adult men wearing jerseys.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on that. I'm going Jeremy Roenick Blackhawks jersey.
You're wearing Blackhawks.
I'm going Jeremy Roenick white Blackhawks jersey. The best.
You're gonna wear those goofy pants and a giant sweatshirt.
I don't care what I have to do with the pants.
They're so big.
Giant sweater.
Wait,
I'm wearing the Jeremy Roenick white Blackhawks jersey.
Are you a Sharks fan or a Blackhawks fan?
No, I'm like a hockey agnostic.
Oh.
But I think the Blackhawks uniform is the best uniform in sports.
You don't think it's going to get canceled at some point?
No.
Okay. Next person.
It's not the fucking Redskins. Jesus.
All right. I'm going to go. I'm thinking functionally here, too, because I feel like
this is
if I go basketball.
This is the engineer in Mabalo. You got real thoughts.
If I go basketball, I'm wearing a tank top.
You're just rocking under. You're rocking underwear. Yeah.
360. Like I don't feel like hockey. It's like I'm wearing weird pants and a giant sweater. Football, like I don't know. Is that even clothes? I don't know. That's kind of like hockey.
Yoga pants and a jersey.
Ballerina, ballerina on the bottom and a bruiser on top.
Yeah. I'm going baseball pant. I'm going baseball. Okay. Stick with baseball. I'm gonna. Yeah. I like the Red Sox whites, but I'm not going to go with the whites. Could stain really easily. I'm going to go with the classic Mariners gray.
Oh, thank God. I was going to say Mariners. And I thought you guys were going to laugh at me.
That would have been so adorable if you both chose the same outfit. Oh, my God.
But I could have like little seeds in the back pocket. I mean, it's so functional.
It's a look.
This is a Dave's take. The idea that you just chose a team you have no connection to because of the way it looks. Why did you choose the Mariners? Fill us in here.
They have a great logo, good color scheme. It's also subtle. It's also not controversial. Everyone loved that old Mariners team.
That's 100%. True.
Like I could go anywhere. If I'm wearing a Red Sox uni and I show up to Dodger Stadium or New York, that's like a bad luck Mariners. No one's gonna cool Mariners. Ken Griffey. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, no one's ever gonna hate on you for wearing Mariners stuff, bro.
You roll up with that Mariners gear, they're gonna be like, is this our AAA affiliate? What is this?
Oh, he's so cute.
It's like really Switzerland. I'm just like a neutral party, you know?
Absolutely. Oh my God. Chrissy, your uniform.
Oh man. Yeah, it's tough because down here in LA, you know, it's warm a lot of the time. So originally I thought basketball. Mm-hmm. And not current, not 2000s. I'm thinking like late 80s basketball where it's the stuff fit right.
Oh, like that, the long shorts.
No.
You're talking about the short shorts.
Chris just wants to free ball out there.
Yeah, I just want to I want to be able to go to the beach and you know, feel good and enjoy the sun. But originally I had thought baseball just because it's more practical. And then I was thinking, of course, Giants because I love black, orange, and cream colors together. I think it looks great. But I don't know. I think if I had to pick a team, I would just go 90s. I would go 90s Bulls just because I feel in LA it would razzle some feathers, and I think it would be funny, and I would enjoy the weather.
Yeah.
Are you going MJ, Pippen, or Kukoc? Don't let me down here.
Or Rodman, bro. Rodman.
Oh, Rodman. I love Rodman. I watched
or Luke. I could go Luke.
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. Kerr. We talked about this. Is it racist for a white guy to wear a white guy's jersey? I think it is. So I definitely could not choose any of those. I'd go Jordan, obviously. Like, it's obvious. So
I think when I see a white guy wearing a white guy's jersey, unless it's Larry Bird, it just kind of makes me laugh. It's just like, come on, bro. You know they're not the best at whatever team you're trying to represent, bro. What are you doing? Okay.
When you see the white guy with the white guy jersey, you're just like, I know how you feel about handing water to fellas.
To voters. Yeah,
word up. Handing water out.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So you're going 90s Bulls?
I'm going 90s Bulls, probably. Right. If I had to pick a player, obviously.
Are you going Reds or Whites? Or?
I go Reds.
I go red because white. Well, because white stains. White stains.
Oh, yeah, going guys,
it's not big one. It's not one set of clothes till it falls off. You have a whole closet of these things.
Yeah, I'm definitely going.
I drink too much coffee. I gotta go red.
I'm definitely going Dodgers, man. The regular Dodger blues. I love it with the gray pants, the blue jersey.
This is a lie. This is a lie.
I bought my first
decades
pair
of your life where I saw you wear. The Minneapolis Lakers Kobe uniform. Decades of your life, you wore that every fucking day. Now you're gonna tell me you're gonna wear Dodgers gear?
Well, that's I think you know, it's I mean, I guess I could wear the Lakers yellows. It's, you know, I rock them. I have all the jerseys.
You're
I have every variation.
About this like you're not the only guy that routinely wears jerseys everywhere. Let's go. You go.
I still do. I got them all. The black Street Edition Kobe jerseys.
Pick up your computer and show us your closet.
That's invasive, bro.
You guys ever watch Queer Eye for Straight Guy?
Oh, I love that show. That's one of my favorite shows.
Karamo's LA hat collection. It's unbelievable. I've never seen him wear the same one twice.
Yeah, he's got so many.
Aris, I have a question for you about baseball. Would you go pants tucked in socks or pants all the way down to the ankles?
All the way down to the ankles. I don't tuck.
Oh,
I don't own any socks that are longer than my ankles.
Well, you'd have the whole uniform.
You know, I'd have to try it out. This is the first year of my life. So I was hanging out with my brother Jove, and we were shopping, and I wanted to buy some joggers, like the sweatpants. That's like everybody wears them. It's cool now, and I don't really own any pants. I only own shorts. Like even the first time I went to New York to visit him, it was fucking winter, and I was wearing shorts like a mook. But so I was like, dude, I want to buy some of these joggers. So we're at the mall and he takes me to the Gap. I've never even been to the Gap before. I've never even been inside.
This is just more evidence that you've worn Lakers jerseys your whole life. And now you can tell us you're going to wear a Dodgers jersey.
Well, just wait. So we go into the Gap and I'm like, dude, I'm fat. None of this is going to fit me. I have short legs and a big waist. So we go and we look at these joggers and I try them on. Bro, they're like pillows. They perfectly sit on my leg. They're super comfortable. I mean, my whole world was blown. And that's what makes me think if those are that comfortable, maybe those Dodger pants are that comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And, you know, the Dodgers, it's layered. Shit. I got the shirt with the baseball shirt over the other shirt. So I'm nice and layered. I could wear my chains, you know, like the players do. And I get to wear my Dodger hat. It's my favorite hat.
This was like a real life Queer Eye.
It was. I always, if I had any of those five, 10 would be the one I would need the most because he could help me like change my attire from just jerseys and gangbang it affiliation shit to real human being clothes.
I was doing laundry today and I had the same thought. Like, I just need Tan to buy me some clothes.
Yeah.
This t-shirt has holes in it. And at this stage of my life, I'm not interested in buying new t-shirts. So I'm just going to keep wearing this t-shirt.
He's the one that's most necessary to men in America, I think. Like, he could change a lot of things. Karamo.
We all need Karamo. Karamo is Karamo's the psychosocial guy. Yeah, Karamo's the coach on the team who can't shoot, doesn't know any strategy, but he just gets people in the right headspace.
Yeah.
He's literally the Mike Tomlin of Queer Eye. Like, I don't know what I do here. I just help you get it. We all need a Karamo, but we all also need a Tan. None of us need an Anthony. I know how to make a fucking margarita.
I don't know. I love them all, bro. Like, that's, I watch that show and I just cry like a baby, bro. I love that so fucking show. It's so like just happiness and love. Like,
yeah,
I can hang out with all five of them. Honestly, they're all great. And I do need an Anthony because I'm a grown man and I cook like shit. Like, he can help me out.
Hey, for next sure. Next time you're in town, Mops can teach you how to make a few drinks. I'll try to figure out how to cook something with you.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, I don't really drink. I like herbal essence myself. I'm an herbal man. I'm not really a drinker, but you can show me what you got. You know, if it's good.
Oh, for my birthday, Mops made like a spicy. What was it, Mops? It was like a smoky mezcal thing. I was like, damn, this is like a $25 drink. It was so good.
Damn.
Like, when you don't have kids, you just like learn skills.
Yeah, but you got, you know, I'm sure you got some good stuff at your house, Dave. You have all the, like, you know, the little kid drinks and, you know, juice boxes and snacks.
I have
Capri
Sun on deck. Yeah, Pacific.
I'm not ashamed to admit I crushed 2.5 Capri Suns before we got
home. Let's go. See, that's the good life too. Oh man. All right. Last question of the lightning round. This is actually a pretty.
This is like the slowest lightning round.
What do you mean?
We're taking a good 45 minutes to answer each question.
I love that though. That's
I know it's good. I feel like we get some good responses.
You're also the biggest. I've never interviewed three people, so this is a first.
Yeah.
And this is an easy one. If you could be reincarnated and live the life of any athlete that ever lived, what athlete's life would you want?
Just pick a random left-handed relief pitcher that's been in the league for Jamie Moyer. Wasn't Jamie Moyer like making $3 million a year for 20 years? Just throwing curveballs. Just throwing 5 curveballs a game.
Wow. That's Jamie, what you want? You don't want the notoriety and the fame? You just
I don't think it's easy. Like, I think people would be like, I want to be Muhammad Ali. I don't think that was like an easy life. I don't think it's easy to like, I don't want to ever get to the point in my life where like, I can't go to the grocery store or I was at my kid's soccer practice today and nobody talked to me and it was great. I don't want to ever get to the, it's never going to happen, but I would never want a life where I'm at my kid's soccer practice and somehow people are like looking at me or trying to talk to me. It's just like,
you don't want to sign a post, like a take the rope poster. Like some fan comes up. Oh, I love your show. Can you sign this for me? Not even that.
Like, yeah, to like a point. I wouldn't want to be like Muhammad Ali. Like,
yeah,
or, I don't know.
Yeah. It must be terrible being immortalized and loved by millions of people.
Love.
That must
it's
be terrible.
Not love. It's not love. It's like, it's this weird, we like it's love, but it's not respectful.
Mm.
Like I met Jerry Rice and I was a fucking creeper. Like I wouldn't want, like the guy's trying to have a drink and I'm fucking creeping on him for 2 hours. Like he has a great life, but that aspect of his life is not great. And I wouldn't want my kids to grow up in that kind of environment where they can't go to Target without this turning into like, who's my dad thing.
Mm.
Though I would never want my life to influence my kid's life in that way. So give me like an anonymous left-handed reliever for 15 years with goggles. No one knows who he is. He switches cities every 3 years. Nobody knows who he is. That sounds great.
Oh my God. Vavilo.
I love that. I was going to say Big Poppy, but he actually got shot. So
everybody got to get shot every now and then, you know, it's an experience. Hey,
Mops, you're nobody till somebody tries to kill you, my man.
Biggie said that. Come on.
All right. So I'm going to go with, and this is a little bit on Dave's line. I'm going to go with someone who could, you know, probably go to the grocery store, may not be recognized, but is universally recognized as one of the greatest kickers of all time, Adam Vinatieri.
Hmm.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but they've already done it, man. Super Bowls. You get all the, you know, all the accolades of the Super Bowls and all this and all that, and then you're just a kicker. You're just a guy, you know. You don't have to go find special shirts that, you know, are custom made because your muscles are too big or because you're 6'11".
Right.
Yeah, you're just
you motherfuckers are so practical, bro. Oh, you're all so fucking practical.
No,
Adam and Terry, you're a legend.
Oh my God,
Mops is practical. I just don't think being a celebrity sounds that great.
Oh my God, Chris, your answer?
Yeah, totally on the same page with you guys. Although this guy does have a famous face, but I feel like this sports lifestyle is probably the best. I'm gonna have to go with the only golfer I ever
cared
about, which is I'm going Greg Norman. I'm going Greg Norman, the shark.
Oh, I'm going John
great
Daly.
Great nicknames.
I'm going John Daly. Get flown around the world. Get fucking hammered on a golf course.
I'm going Shooter McGavin, probably.
Chris, Chris is the smartest on the pod.
Yeah, this is why,
that was a great answer.
Chris is a pinch hitter, man. He just comes in. Everybody, he's lying quietly, and then he's just going to assassinate us.
Oh, my God.
Response. Great answer. How do we not pick golf?
Here's my answer, and I think it might blow your mind a little bit. I think especially Mopolo. Thomas Brady.
Oh.
Married to a supermodel.
Okay.
Filthy rich. Beloved. Handsome. Barely ever gets hit. Maybe the greatest of all time.
Goes to bed at 8 p.m. and drink.
Who has a better life than Tom Brady?
Doesn't eat carbs. Goes to bed at 8 p.m. and is friends with Trump. I'm out.
Oh, well, yeah, shit. That last part.
It's actually a bad life. Tom Brady has attained a level of success where he is completely out of touch with humanity. And, you know, this goes back to
our conversation. He's partying on boats, Dave.
Who's been hit less times than him, though? Who wins as much as him? And
This is the point of the original conversation, is that we force prominent black athletes to take political stands, and then we roast them for it. And Tom Brady just, like, again, like, fucking probably has seen Trump four times this offseason and no one gives him shit about it because we have different expectations for you know, we don't put this like political pressure on white athletes the same way we do some of these black athletes. So
that's true. I didn't even think about the Trump connection. Yeah, you're right. Fuck him.
I don't think being Tom Brady is that great. You want to go to bed at 8, be afraid of nightshade vegetables.
I just think
sound that great to me.
A football career like his and just barely ever getting hit is like such a wonderful thing.
It's basically Vinatieri with more hassle. Why don't you just speak?
It's basically Vinatieri, but being like the GOAT.
Andy's married to Giselle, so that's not bad.
But Aris,
actually, you know what? She's not my flavor though, so I'm out too.
You'd have to wear Uggs though.
Jove has Uggs. I might try them on.
Mike Vick? I'd rather be Mike Vick than Tom Brady.
Oh, man, but the dogs. I love dogs, man.
Look,
that's a tough one.
This is a sport where grown men line up across from each other and legitimately have conversations pregame about killing other human beings. And I'm supposed to be mad. And no offense, Mops. I know you're a dog person. I'm not a pet person. I'm supposed to be afraid of, like, Michael Vick dogfighting? Like, guys, these guys are trying to kill each other every fucking Sunday. What are we talking about here?
You know what? I'm going to change mine. I think I want to be Juju. Thinking about it right now, Juju has such a good life. He's such a nice guy. He donates. He plays video games with fans. He has a YouTube page. He talks about anime. He's not unemployed.
He's a USC legend, right?
USC legend. I think I'm going with Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's not bad, yeah. He's got some cash in the bank.
He's like famous, but he's not so famous that he can't do things. He likes Dragon Ball. I mean, what's up?
That's just a homer pick.
I mean,
Dave, very critical of this.
Dave is so critical.
Yeah.
Dave just wants to be some pitcher nobody's ever heard of.
I don't like Juju.
The traveling carny.
He can't even say the name of the person. He doesn't know the name.
What a hater, bro. Oh my God. Well, gentlemen, this has been really fun. I appreciate you coming on. If anyone wants to, the podcast is called Take the Rope. You can listen to these three gentlemen talk sports. And it's also more than sports.
Forget listening. You can come on the pod.
Yeah, I mean, I will anytime you invite me.
No, I mean, like, don't even encourage people to listen. Just encourage people to come on.
To come on your pod, like as guests.
Hey, yeah. if you are gonna listen to any of our episodes, check out the U.S. Women's National Team's episodes with my partner Aaron Pressman. They're good.
And also go to the other ones that are the least listened to because we need the ratings.
Guys, that's my job. I just listen to the least. I just try to pump up the, like a good father, I just try to pump up the slow kids.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, your podcast is dope. All three of you are interesting. And also your podcast is not just sports. You guys talk politics. You talk current events sometimes. My favorite is the Dave Rants where he has a little wine and, the other guys take a break for about 10 minutes and he just goes in. Those famous rants are they're amazing. So, I just want to thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate you. And if there's anything you want to say before we sign off, go ahead.
No, it's a great pleasure. Thank you for having us on. We will get more into our Mike Tomlin. We will extend our Mike Tomlin argument from last season into this season. Oh, we'll talk Juju Smith-Schuster. We'll get into it. We look forward to having you on our podcast again soon. Thanks, Aris.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. See you next time.
Take care.
Bye.